1, 2, 3, 4. Andre Matorin from his album Opus, and we heard the track entitled Silver Blue. That one features Andre Matorin on violin, Takashi Obayashi on piano, Luquez Curtis on bass, and Dan Pugach on drums. All right, you're listening to In the Groove, Jazz and Beyond. My name's Ken. We've got a special guest with us. We've got Chris Allen here. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, for those of you in the Hartford area, you probably know who Chris Allen is. Those outside the area are podcast listeners. Chris is an accomplished alto sax player and educator. He's performed with many artists, Mario Pavone, Winard Harper, Gerald Wilson's Orchestra, Curtis Brothers, and also was named the artistic director of the Hartford Jazz Society's New Direction Ensemble. And that's a large ensemble that's directed by Earl MacDonald, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yep, and of course, Earl MacDonald's the director of the jazz program here at University of Connecticut, where this broadcast comes from.
Actually,
I was surprised when I read Gerald Wilson. You have performed with him? Or
yeah, Gerald Wilson.
With him?
No, just, well, Gerald Wilson was just one performance, actually, for WBGO.
Okay.
In Newark, it was a special thing, and that was actually the great trumpeter John Faddis. I got to know him, and so he was my in to that scene.
Right.
He hooked me up with that gig.
Huh. He's a legend.
Yeah, he's really good.
And as an educator, Chris, you are on the faculty at the University of Hartford at the Hart School of Music.
Yep, I teach a whole bunch of different places. At Hart, right now, I teach just one class, which is saxophone ensemble.
Uh-huh.
But it's a great one, and we have a lot of fun. It's sort of it's patterned after a class that I took as a student there way back in the day, Jackie McLean's sax class, and it just involves pretty much all the jazz saxophonists in the school and a rhythm section. We just play, and this year we have an ambitious goal of collectively all learning every Charlie Parker composition ever written.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and they're going to do it, too. I mean, I have some guys there that are really sharp.
Also, you're active in the Litchfield Jazz Camp. I know that.
Yeah,
yeah. So that must be kind of a rewarding kind of thing, working with the younger kids.
Litchfield is always fun. I always look forward to that every summer. And usually I spend up to 4 weeks there.
Yeah.
And actually, Litchfield Performing Arts is doing lots of different stuff throughout the year, too. So, yeah, that's kind of... I've been involved with them in Vita Muir and all her projects for about a decade, and it's become a pretty big part of my whole package.
Right. All right. Well, I want to get into the album.
Sure.
So, actually, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the album.
Cool.
When you were recording the album, did you have something in mind? Did you have a direction you wanted to go, or a theme, or was there some some vibe you wanted to get out of it? What was the thought behind the album? Or did you have one?
I'm not sure. There was such a... This album, for me, I felt personally like it was a long time in coming.
Yeah.
And I've been writing music, and leading bands for a long time, ever since I was in college. I was writing a lot of music. So, and made stabs at... recording records before, and there's been some recordings that were made that never quite made it into actual production. So I'm very grateful to Zakai Curtis especially and sort of his impetus and Truth Revolution Records to they grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and led me over the hump and help me actually make this a reality.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And actually there's nine different tracks on here. Seven of them are your own compositions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start out by playing Passing.
Okay.
Is there any way you want to set that up? What
yeah,
does Passing mean?
Well, Passing was a song that actually I wrote, with a specific thing in mind. I wrote that when Jackie McLean passed away, which I feel terrible. I can't remember. I believe it was in 2003. It's tough to write something for someone that's so important, but also, someone who's such a great musician and you don't really want it to sound like you're aping his style or something, something that has his feeling in it, but I try not to stress too much about that. I just felt like writing something, and that was what was, you know, on my mind. Huh. And so, and actually, you know, to connect this also, you were talking about Earl. It was funny because, you know, he just does so many cool things. One of the things I appreciate about Earl, he's got a great blog.
Yeah.
He's constantly blogging about his writing and things. And so one day he sent me a link to his blog and said, and it was this whole blog about this tune.
Oh.
And about passing and about how it was a contrafact, meaning composition over existing chord changes. He says, this is Chris Allen's contrafact over the changes of Summertime.
Huh.
And I said, oh, I didn't even realize that. But you're kind of right. I didn't think about that. But you could look at it as Summertime changes with a lot of fancy stuff added in. So
I really like this track.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so let's
me
see,
too.
Let's hear Passing.
All right. We'll be right back.
That's Passing from the album Circle House. That's Chris Allen's quartet. We've got Chris Allen joining us here. Passing. Well, we didn't really mention too much about the people on this album, the rest of your the rest of the quartet. So do you want to
talk about
the players you got here?
Well, Zakai Curtis, I mentioned already, you know, was also, kind of in a producer role for this. But, you know, he's one of my favorite pianists, you know, anywhere. So it was a real honor to have him. But sometimes you're around someone and you think, wow, this guy like really hears things the same way I do and kind of likes the same things in the same way.
He's an amazing person. Yeah. He's been on the show. The show here. And just he's got so many ideas about so many things.
Yeah.
And he's easy to talk to connect to. So Zakai is great. Besides being really one of the finest piano players, not only in the Hartford area, but anywhere. And he's finding a lot of success, too.
Yeah, yeah. He and I just share very similar musical aesthetics. And I played for a while in bands led by him, and I, you know, love his work as a composer. Right. Luquez also, you know, I've known these guys since they were very little. I mean, I was pretty little myself.
That's his brother, his brother, Luquez.
Luquez playing bass and...
Also a great talent.
Man,
who's
yeah.
really becoming successful playing with so many different people.
Yeah, he plays very, very well in many genres. Eric McPherson is on the drums.
Yep.
And Eric is kind of a hero of mine, a sort of a musical big brother. There's really something about learning from people who are your own age.
Yep.
And there's really something to... learning from people just a little bit older than you.
All right, I want to try something a little different. We're going to play something other than your album right here. I want to try to do kind of like a downbeat style blindfold test. All right, you're up for the challenge. I want to play something, and then we'll talk about it after you hear it.
Okay, cool.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Well, as soon as I played that, we're doing a little blindfold test here with Chris Allen. But as soon as the first couple measures were played, Chris would say, "I know that."
Oh man, yeah, that's right down the middle of the plate, Ken. Got it. You know,
I thought it was a little obscure.
I was hoping for more of a challenge.
All right. So for the listeners out there, well, tell me what you think.
I'll give you the history of that tune. I know as Ballad for Doll. And because it was recorded a second time on Jackie's album, Jackie McLean's album, Rites of Passage.
Okay. But this was not on.
This was not. Right. That's not what this was. This was an album from the 60s, Lee Morgan album.
Right.
And Lee Morgan is also just kind of foundational for me in terms of, in fact, the first Lee Morgan the first album that I ever loved was Lee Morgan's The Gigolo. So I have pretty much everything that Lee and Jackie did together. And so this was a Lee Morgan album that's called Infinity.
Right.
And so it's Lee Morgan, I think it's Larry Willis and Billy Higgins. Unfortunately, I don't know who the bass player is.
Reggie Workman.
Okay, and I believe the song...
Hey, I didn't say the alto player.
Oh, it's Jackie McLean on alto. And like I know that song is Ballad for Doll, and I'm spacing out, but I think the name is a little different. I think it's...
Portrait of Doll.
Portrait of Doll. Yeah, I knew it was different. But
actually, when I saw that, I was thinking, man, maybe that was a mistake in the credits that it should be Portrait of Dolly, Jackie's wife.
Yeah, I think that's what that's who it's talking about.
Okay,
I think that, and he, you know, he called her that too, I believe.
Okay,
yeah. So man, that was easy.
Yeah, and it's a great number. We were talking about Eric McPherson. I'm thinking maybe Eric McPherson and Billy Higgins, maybe there's like a little kind of a...
Oh, I'm sure.
I think they have the same kind of style of drumming.
yeah. I mean, when you were playing that, I was thinking when we were just listening in the studio now, I was marveling at how Higgins sounded at that tempo. It was like a very hard tempo to make sound good. And it was just... And, you know, so I would ascribe that to Eric, too. You can kind of, you know, make those slower tempos sound nice and obviously burn, you know, up fast.
Right. So as they do in Downbeat, they usually give it, you know, rated
five stars. I mean, seriously.
No question.
It's especially, you know, Jackie, you could never, I could never even separate, like, anything Jackie did. You could find, like, you know, the worst thing he did. I don't know what that would be, but that would be five stars. Just, he's just so important to me. And I feel that way about Lee. Obviously, somebody I never met. But.
So, actually, I wanted to, the reason I played that, really, was I wanted to lead into a little more discussion about Jackie McLean. You've already discussed a lot about it, but I would like to find out more about how what he meant to you, how you interacted with him, what you took away from learning from Jackie, both in a musical sense and maybe in a grander sense than that as well.
Sure. I'm trying to think when I first met him.
Did you have a lot of like one-on-one interaction?
Yeah, quite a bit. All right, let me think. When I was about 14, I think I was like between sax. You know what happened? I was taking saxophone lessons with a guy, a great teacher. This guy named his name George Ventrelli, and he lived in Plainville, I think. I went to his house, and one summer he had a heart attack and passed away. He's very old, so we kind of needed another saxophone teacher. And you know, I started asking people about this Jackie McLean because I'm not. But I figured, to me, this was just another great saxophone
you
guy
didn't know the legend.
In the area.
You didn't
I had
know
no
that
idea
he, the legend that he is.
Exactly. I didn't know like really who he was. And I followed some friends of mine. There was a trumpeter that went to school with me named Jason Berg, and my still one of my closest friends, Jimmy Green, who. I had known. I actually met Jimmy through his sister. We went to camp together, but we knew each other even though we were in different towns. And so I followed those guys to the Artist Collective and joined the after school bands there. So there, you know, met Jackie and you know pretty much all the Hartford area musicians. You know, met professional musicians for the first time. And so Jackie was real influential. I mean, personally. I think it was meeting him, and he's just a very warm and caring person and very funny and very, very real. You know, he was definitely very tough and I just thought he was the coolest guy ever as a high school kid and still do. And I think, you know, meeting him and the other people sort of in his circle, that got me thinking about, oh, wow, I could... You know, I would like to do this for my life. You know, I would like to make a career out of this music. Not just it went beyond just this is an extracurricular activity that I really excel at. You know, but this is I begin to have a whole different mental category for that. And I mean, certainly musically, I remember learning so much. And I mean, I could recount all kinds of specific, personal stories, but I would go over to his house and for a few hours at a time. Mostly we just played together. Honestly, like I would play piano for him and he would play piano for me. I remember he was practicing the music for his album Rhythm would become Rhythm of the Earth. Uh-huh. And I just played all the tunes that he was playing piano. Uh-huh. And then we'd kind of talk about how he would approach it. Sometimes he would feed me musical things. Sometimes he would say, give me critique about how I was doing it, but mostly kind of in an oral tradition kind of way, just playing back and forth and back and forth. And then I continued on and studied with him in a more formal setting at the University of Hartford. And, eventually, after graduating, I had the real honor and privilege of teaching alongside him. I was kind of what he would call his lieutenant in his saxophone class. And so that was a real treasure to just do that. And it was real. I mean, I'm still very grateful for that, like to be taught by him, who he basically learned kind of the same way I just described you. He learned by sitting with Bud Powell. And so to have that connection to sort of the heart of the jazz language was was really special. And Jackie really loved his students, and he really, we had a lot of great times. He's very funny. We laughed a lot. Yeah. And, everyone who has been in that scene, we all have a bazillion anecdotes and stuff, so.
I can only imagine the stories he must have told you about just the whole jazz scene in the late 50s and early 60s and Miles and Oh man, he's one of the only great people.
I mean, he's
ever,
one of yeah. He has
Sonny Rollins and you know everybody.
Jackie's the only. I'm trying to think. He's the only person that's ever a sideman with Blakey, Miles, and Mingus.
Yeah.
And that's and those are you know true like three of the you know I don't know how if there's greater small group jazz leaders than that. So he's been with all those guys. Plus he also played with Monk, not on records, but he actually hired Monk for gigs when he was a what they would call cocktail sips because I guess Monk you know was kind of hard up for work. So you know and he's connected with everybody. I mean he has a connection with Parker too, and you know everyone who's gonna talk about Jack is going to describe him as a Parker disciple.
Mentored by
but,
Parker.
You know, they never really had like a close relationship. Yeah, I'm not sure if Parker at that stage of his life was capable of that with anybody. But
actually, that must be pretty cool for you because to have such a direct connection to that kind of lineage.
Yeah.
From Parker to Train and Rollins, Jackie, and you. That's really pretty nice.
I try not to take that for granted.
Yeah. Beyond music, did he teach you anything about life, about, you know, how to conduct yourself either on stage or just, you know?
Oh, sure. I mean, he
how to connect with the audience or...
He was definitely trying to instill in us, you know, obviously respect for the history and the significance of the music he played, you know, culturally as you know, and because he was very conscious of you know struggles of civil rights and of that nature,
and
always you know made sure we were kind of comporting ourselves with a lot of dignity and making sure we dressed nice and you know took it very seriously and played something that we really. You know, played like we meant it, not like casually or in a funny kind of way. I mean, he was definitely an artist and wanted us to look at it that way too.
Yeah. That really comes through, I think, at least in the Hartford area. You know, we're blessed with a lot of great musicians here and even different generations. And when Claire and I started getting pretty close with the people in the music scene here, we've talked about it, Claire and I have talked about it dozens of times that it always impresses us how that all the musicians are so respectful of the art, of the audience, just how they conduct themselves when they're doing their trade.
What blows me away too is that I see there's some kind of vibe that I see, and I see it even in musicians that are too young to have even ever met Jackie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like people, no, it seems to be passed down.
People, like I'm thinking of...
JB.
And, JB or Jovan Alexander. Yeah. I'm like, sometimes I gotta, wait, these guys never even met him.
Yeah.
And yet...
Well, it's passed down from you guys.
Yeah, sometimes it seems
it's
like...
You're their teachers.
You would think, when you are around them, like, you would think that... I feel that same kind of thing from them. Yeah, that's what you said.
All right, well, we're running kind of a little short on time. We want to get into a little more music.
Sure.
The next thing I want to play from your album is Star Eyes.
Okay, cool.
And that's not one of your compositions.
No.
I thought it was a Mal Waldron composition, but it's not.
You know, one of my favorite standards. And
so, you give it a little different take than how I've heard it
by
other artists.
It's pretty extensively arranged. I mean, it's in some weird time. The signature's all different chords.
Yeah.
I like that effect when you present something and there's that familiarity and people say, I know this, but it's different. I really like that.
It is different. Very unique arrangements. Zakai actually told me it was very challenging to play this. So here it is, Star Eyes.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to fade that down a little bit so we can talk a little bit more before the end of the hour, which is coming up on us quickly. But Chris, definitely want to talk about your album, where they can purchase that. Name of the album is Circle House. Is there a meaning to Circle House, by the way?
Oh, yes. Circle House was, it was just the only song on the record that I thought had a good name for the complete album. But that song was also written with a specific thing in mind. It was there's a charity that I've been involved with over the years and doing. I used to do a bunch of benefit concerts for them. It's called Love 146, and uh-huh. They're all about the abolition of child slavery. So they deal with some pretty nasty situations, mostly. You know, in Southeast Asia, and
nice.
I'm always wary of using something like that for a tune name, lest I be trying to make my song deeper than it really is. But
All right. So anyway, you can purchase this album at your website. Why don't you talk about your website?
Okay. My personal website is allenjazz.com. If you click on, I think there's a, it says store. If you click on that, it shoots you over to the record label's website, which is truthrevolutionrecords.com.
Right.
And that's where I would shoot people. I would encourage people to buy it. Right. You can find it anywhere, but then you'll get to see all the other great Truth Revolution Records artists like Andre Matorin.
That's
and
true.
Artists, you know.
Right. And also, I'll have a link to that from my website, so you can also check it out at my website, www.jazzandbeyond.com. And you click on the podcast link, and that'll take you to the playlist. You'll see it from tonight's show, as well as links to all the great music you've heard, and especially the link to Chris Allen's album, Circle House. So thank you very much for coming on today.
Man, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Let's do it again. All blindfold tests.
All right. He's up for the challenge.
And maybe that. Even like we can make it like a competitive thing. We'll get somebody else and we'll.
All right, maybe we'll do that.
That was fun.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get Zakai in here. And,
I'll take him down.
Okay. I wanted to play something. Your lovely wife, Jen Allen, couldn't be with us today, but she's a musician as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So I want to end the show with a track from her album. Her album is called Pieces of Myself. This is a track also featuring Chris Allen on alto saxophone. So we're going to play that. The name of the track is The Repercussions. That'll do it for tonight's show. Stay tuned for UConn Sports coming up next here on WHUS.